chapter 15 and also chapter 20. Coming to the book of Jeremiah, we know that Israel, the northern kingdom, had already gone into captivity, and Judah, the southern kingdom, was rushing headlong on a course of toward its own destruction. The historical background of Jeremiah is set in chapters 1, verses 1 through 3. And reading those verses, we can deduce that the time frame, the time period that the book of Jeremiah covers would be approximately 42 years. And we see that that time frame is covered there in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 22 through chapter 25, and also 2 Chronicles, chapters 34 through 36. If you would read those portions of Scripture, you get a pretty good idea of what was going on during Jeremiah's time. We'd like to read verse 16 of Jeremiah 15. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And then in chapter 20 and verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, that is the Lord, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. These two verses record separate incidents in the life of Jeremiah. But as you can see, there is a common thread, and that thread being the influence of the Word of God in the life of Jeremiah. So in both of these verses, we see the Word of God in Jeremiah making a difference in his life, making a difference in his circumstances. Jeremiah is one of many lessons in perseverance. He was a man who persevered. We see from our text verses where his enabling came from. That is the Word of God. So I want to speak tonight on the sustaining power of God's Word. I want to look at the overall circumstances of the book of Jeremiah. Then we want to look at the circumstances of these two verses that we read, and then we want to look at what happened during those circumstances. But first of all, the overall circumstances of the book. When you come to the book of Jeremiah, we see a nation, Southern Kingdom, a nation that for the most part has fallen apart. Everything was going wrong. The enemies were surrounding them. Troubles were widespread throughout the nation. The government was corrupt. Disasters were taking place, and more disasters were on the horizon. Degeneracy was everywhere. Sounds all very familiar. It was a time of shocking and worsening moral decay. Judah, for the most part, was in a very advanced stage of sin. And Jeremiah is told by God to, in chapter 1, verse 19, we see he's called by God in chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And then he's told by God to gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them, all that I have commanded thee, be not dismayed at their faces. And then he was given this promise, they shall not prevail against thee, which immediately implies opposition. They shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And then as you read through the book of Jeremiah, about 42 years, we see him preaching over and over. And he's preaching in very plain, very graphic language, confronting Judah with their sin. He reveals to them over and over how that they had rejected the Lord for idols, and how that they were guilty of gross personal unrighteousness, and that they hypocritically claimed to be God's people, but in truth, they were refusing God's word, refusing to be corrected. And Jeremiah rebuked them for following the false prophets who basically spoke what the people wanted to hear. So Jeremiah preached in very, very plain terms. And he was very obedient. And he was very faithful to God's command to preach the message of God. And the end result of it all, in chapter 18 and verse 18, then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. And Jeremiah preached for 42 years. And he did so with a very heavy and a very sorrowful heart. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And also in chapter 13 and verse 17, we see his burden. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. And the message that he preached was absolutely ignored. Absolutely rejected. If Jeremiah were preaching today, he would be considered an absolute failure because he had no results. He preached without any sign of encouragement or improvement in the people. In fact, the more he preached, rather than the people improving, they got worse. The more he preached, the worse they got. The more they preached, the steeper in sin they were. So the headlong course of the nation into sin and toward their own destruction was not altered one iota by the preaching of Jeremiah. Yet he was faithful. For 42 years, he continued to preach the Word of God. Through much personal sorrow, much personal struggle, much personal heartache, difficulty, and danger, he simply did what God told him to do. Preach. And he persevered. And again, he did so for about 42 years. As you read through the book, you see that Jeremiah was a man who suffered tremendously. We see that he suffered, or he faced, death threats. We see that in chapter 11, verses 18 through 23. We see also that he experienced isolation. chapter 15. He experienced stocks, chapters 19 and 20. Chapter 26, we read of arrest. We read of violence and imprisonment. Chapter 37. Chapter 38, he was deprived of water and deprived of food. Chapter 40, we see him in chains. In chapters 42 and 43, he's simply rejected by the people. But through it all, Jeremiah was faithful to what God had sent him to do. So Jeremiah is a lesson in perseverance. And what we read in our text verses provides the reason, one of the reasons, that Jeremiah just kept on going. One of the reasons that Jeremiah just kept preaching the Word of God. So that's the overall circumstances of the book of Jeremiah, the overall circumstances of his ministry. And that brings us to the circumstances of the verses that we read for our text. The background and circumstances leading to what we read there in chapter 15 and verse 16 goes back to chapter 14. And in Jeremiah chapter 14, we see Jeremiah. He's in the land of Judah. And it is a time of great famine. We see that in verses 2 through 6 of chapter 14. And then in verses 7 through 9 of that chapter, we see Jeremiah is earnestly and fervently praying for the people, that God would be merciful to the people, that God would spare the people. And in verses 10 through 12 of chapter 14, God answers Jeremiah by saying that he would continue to pour out his wrath, to pour out his judgment upon the land, and that Jeremiah should no longer pray for this people. This is what God told Jeremiah there in Jeremiah 14, verses 10 through 12. So they had reached a point where God said, don't even bother praying for this people. I am going to judge them. I am going to bring them into captivity. Don't even pray. Then you come to chapter 15, and God reiterates that he will continue to pour out his judgment upon the people, and that he would bring them to ruin. And we see that in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 15. In verse 10 of chapter 15, Jeremiah is complaining concerning the ongoing hatred of his persecutors toward him. Notice in verse 10, he says, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. He's talking about God's people. Talking about the nation of God in their response to God's messenger. And then in verses 11 through 14, after Jeremiah expresses this complaint of woe, God assures Jeremiah that he would protect him. But there was coming a desolation and captivity. But that Jeremiah would be protected. In verse 15, Jeremiah, he's deeply burdened, he's suffering, and he prays. He says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And that prayer is followed by what we read in verse 16, where Jeremiah tells us where he found his strength, where he found comfort, where he found help and encouragement. He prays that God would be merciful to him. And then the next thing we read is, thy words were found. That was the answer to Jeremiah's prayer. So that gives us the background of that text verse. The background or circumstances leading up to what we read in chapter 20 in verse 9 goes back to chapter 19 verses 14 and 15. And there you see that Jeremiah had just finished preaching a message. Following that message, Pashur, the priest, we read that he smote Jeremiah and that he put him in the stocks. So Jeremiah has been smitten, lashes, and now he is in prison. Jeremiah, as he's in that prison, he's in pain from the lashes. He's experiencing torment. He's in the stocks. He, in verse 3, he's brought forth in the morning. He's brought forth out of the prison in the morning to stand before the priest. And without wavering, he preaches a message of judgment and doom to Pashur. And we see that in verses 3 through 6. To paraphrase, he simply tells Pashur, because you refuse to obey God's message, you will see the outpouring of God's judgment, and that terror will overtake you as you watch your friends fall by the sword, and you see the nation carried off into Babylon and see the wealth of the nation carried off into Babylon. Following this message to Pashur, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 20, Jeremiah pours out his heart to God in prayer. And he's admitting to God some of the feelings that he had while he was in the stocks, while he was in the prison. He admits to God that he had, during that time, that he had fallen into a terrible spiritual state while he was in the prison. It was while he was a prisoner held in the stocks that Jeremiah felt that he had been forsaken by God. Notice verse 7. He's confessing how he felt when he was in the prison. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, this is while he was in the stocks. Now he got over it, because as soon as he came out, he began preaching again. He said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So he says, I was in the prison. And while I was there, I decided, that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm done. I'm finished. I don't need this. And as he was experiencing that, but his word was in my heart, burning as a burning fire shut up my bones, and I was weary. That is, I began to feel, I can't wait to get out of this prison to preach. And forbearing, and I could not stay. And then as soon as he was brought forth, as a result of the Word of God working in him, he preached. But we read those words, but his Word was in my heart. He says, the Word, while I was in that terrible spiritual state, he says, I didn't stay there long. And the reason I didn't stay there, and the reason I did not succumb to that state, was because the Word of God was in my heart and it was working. And it would not allow me to quit. Which goes the old saying, if you can quit, quit. But the truth is, you shouldn't be able to. The Word of God burning in his heart. So we see in both of these text verses, Jeremiah 15, 16, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, we see that the Word of God had sustaining power in the life of Jeremiah. We see that it made a difference in the life of Jeremiah. What we read in these two verses is that the Word of God was a motivating influence in the life of Jeremiah. What we read here in these verses is the secret life of the child of God, preparing them for a life of faithful service to the Lord. What we read in our text is a foundational piece to a life of faithful service to the Lord. So, I want to look at these two verses. Notice in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found. Again, he prayed in verse 15. And then the next thing we read is, thy words were found. That was God's answer to Jeremiah's prayer. The answer was the Word of God. He says, thy words were found. That is, thy words were discovered. Thy words were obtained. The object that was discovered, the object that was obtained by Jeremiah, thy words, also called his word, chapter 20, verse 9. The words of the Creator of the universe, the words of Almighty God, the words of all-wise and holy God, thy words were found. For you and I, that's this book. King James Version, the God's preserved Word. Thy words were found. How many times God answers our prayers the same way? We pour out our heart to God, and God says, read my Word. And then we can say with Jeremiah, thy words were found. And oh, what a wonderful find it is. Notice he does not say, thy words were read, thy words were heard, thy words were learned, and all that is true. He obviously heard, read the Word, heard the Word, and learned from the Word. But he says, thy words were found. That's something more than a mere reading. That's something more than a mere hearing. That's something more than a mere learning of the letter. of God's Word. Thy words were found. This is something that goes much deeper. This is something that goes beyond a mere reading, hearing, or learning of the Word of God. Thy words were found. This is something far more influential than just reading God's Word, because you can read it and it have no influence on you whatsoever. And you can hear it and not have it have an influence upon you. And you can even learn it, and yet it still has no influence in your life. But as you read verse 16, what happened here had an influence in the life of Jeremiah. Thy words were found. Many have read the Word. Many have heard the Word. Many have learned the letter of the Scripture, but have never found it like Jeremiah did this day. Thy words were found. And I believe as you read the rest of the verse, you begin to understand what this means. Thy words were found. What this led to. So we want to look at the meaning, or what happened here. Thy words were found. First of all, it was personal. That is seen in the pronouns in the verse. I, me, and mine, and I. Thy words were found. Jeremiah, when you find something, you discover it. Jeremiah says, I discovered thy word. When you find something, you obtain it. Jeremiah is saying, I obtained thy word. This was personal. This was a personal experience. It was something very real. Thy words were found. Jeremiah got a hold of the Word of God. Thy words were found. And again, by reading the verse, we see what is included in that statement. Thy words were found. You hear Jeremiah say, I did eat them. I did eat them. So, you can read it this way, skip a few words. Thy words, I did eat. Thy words, I did eat. That's what it means to find the Word of God. You can read it without eating it. And you can hear it without eating it. And you can learn it without eating it. Now, we need to read, we need to hear, and we need to learn. But as we do those things, we need to eat. Thy word, I did eat. This is more than going to the place where you know God's word will be preached and where you can hear it. This is finding the word of God in such a way that you eat it. I did eat. That tells us several things. First of all, it tells us that Jeremiah valued the Word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. That is, I obtained the Word of God, and I did not lay it aside. I saw it as too valuable to lay it aside. Now, how many times do we read the Word of God and lay aside everything that we read? How many times we hear the Word of God and lay aside what we hear. And how many times people have learned the letter but have put it to the side. Jeremiah says, I did eat them. That is, I didn't lay it to the side. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. So his thought is this. There's the word. I must have it. I must have it. I must carry it in me. You can't eat something without it getting in you. It speaks of a desire for the Word of God. He ate them. That says that he saw value in that. Many who read see no real value in reading. And that's why they don't read for very long. But he says, I did eat them. He had a desire for the Word of God. He also saw the Word of God as suitable to him. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Does not say, I was fed them. That may be so. But I did eat them. I personally ate the Word of God. To eat implies that we see it, whatever it is we eat, we see it as fitting to eat. We see it as fitting to us. This is not something that is going to harm me. This is not something that is going to kill me. This is not something that's going to make me sick. Therefore, I eat. So Jeremiah saw the Word of God as suitable to him, as something relevant to him, as something pertinent to him. And he did something very specific with the Word of God. I did eat them. Now, to eat means that he received the Word of God inwardly. Thy words, he doesn't just say, I did read, or I did hear, or I did learn. Because you can do all of those things without it ever entering into you. So he says, thy words I did eat. There was a receiving of the Word of God inwardly. Again, this is something more than hasty swallowing of the Word of God. You hastily swallow something, you might choke. This is something more than just hastily swallowing the Word of God. I did eat them. That is, it became a meal for me. And you can read it without ever being a meal. And you can hear it without it ever being a meal. And you can even learn it without it ever being a meal. And this is something most of God's people do not understand. And that is why they make comments like this. Someone goes off in sin. Someone leaves the church. And you say to them, well, you know better than that. You've been taught all your life. Well, that may, first of all, that may be true that they've been taught all their life. But it doesn't mean they ate any of it. Doesn't mean it entered into them. And there's a world of difference. There is a world of difference. He made a meal of them. I did eat them. That is, he digested. The Word of God. What does that mean? That means the Word of God became a part of him. I did eat them. And in chapter 20, verse 9, he says, His Word was in my heart. As it became a part of me. And I can read this book. And I ought to read this book. But it needs to become a part of me. And we can hear it, and we ought to hear it. But it needs to become a part of us. And we can learn it. We can memorize it. We can learn its doctrines. But it needs to become a part of us. That is how we persevere. So he digested. Thy words I did eat. That is, the Word of God became a nourishment to him. The foods that we eat, the juices of the body operate upon it, and the substance of that food is absorbed so that it becomes a part of us. And it begins to sustain us and nourish us. It begins to influence our life. And that's the Word of God. It's what it means to eat the Word of God. We need to find the Word of God in this way. Thy words I did eat. That is, our inward life acts upon the Word of God, and the Word of God acts upon our life. We become one with the Word of God, and it becomes one with us. This is part of thy words were found. Thy word did I eat. I did eat them. It implies an intense belief. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They became a part of me. They became my viewpoint. You can teach and teach and teach your children. That doesn't mean that the Word of God is their viewpoint. And it will not be until they eat the Word of God. Too many people try to force feed. Doesn't work. You force feed, what happens? They're just going to throw it up. They're just going to throw it up. But when he says, I did eat them, I believe this means that the Word of God was my view, it was my conviction. It's my way of thinking. If the Word of God is not your way of thinking, you will not persevere. If the Word of God is not your way of thinking, you will fall. You will not continue. You will not be faithful. The Word of God needs to be our way of thinking. This is how I think. It needs to be true. It becomes our confidence. It becomes our reliance. This is all included, I believe, in thy words were found. Notice the influence of the found word. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Again, you can read it, you can hear it, and you can learn it without it ever becoming the joy and rejoicing of your heart. The word joy is a noun referring to a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But there's also that word rejoicing. That, of course, is a verb. It's acting upon the joy. It's expressing the joy. So the Word of God did something within. It created a joy. And the Word of God expressed itself outwardly, rejoicing. It had an influence. It had an impact. And then over in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, all this is expressed, but His word was in my heart as a burning, as a blazing, flaming fire. Shut up in my bones, that is, just looking for a way to get out. It was shut up in my bones. The Word of God was alive in his heart. You can read it without it being alive in your heart. You can hear it without it being alive in your heart. You can learn it without it being alive in your heart. But he says, it was in me as a burning fire. It was alive. It was active. Oh, we need to find the Word of God in this way. God's Word was working. God's Word was acting. What was it acting like? A burning fire. A burning fire. It was performing a function within him. A burning fire. That's something that's powerful. That's something that's vigorous. It's dynamic. It's a force. It's an influence. And he says, this is what the Word of God was in my heart. This is absolutely necessary if we are going to persevere in our service to God. The Word of God was within Jeremiah as a burning fire, mightily working what it was designed to do. It was a reality to him. It was like an internal combustion, ready to burst forth. We need to know all about that. Thy word was in my heart as a burning fire. Now you tell me, is that something that you can ignore? Well, I don't think so. How many times Word of God is read, but it's ignored? How many times it's heard, but it's ignored? How many times it's learned, but it's ignored? Why is it ignored? Because it's not as a burning fire in them. You don't ignore a burning fire. It wasn't something that could be ignored, and it wasn't something that could be forgotten. People read the Word and forget it 5 minutes after they read it. They hear the Word, and again, before they even get to the back door, they've already forgotten. If you were to ask them, I'm not going to give a percentage, but many wouldn't be able to tell you. It's forgotten. There's no influence. It wasn't something that he could get away from. You got a fire burning in you. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from it, no matter where you go. Can't get away from it. All of this is included in thy words were found. Oh, how we need to find God's Word in this way. God's Word would be in us as a burning fire, increasing, bursting forth in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our memory, in our conscience, in our affections, and in our wills, spreading, extending itself to every nook and cranny of our being. Oh, to find God's Word in this way. Conquering and overcoming anything that is contrary to God in our lives. The Word of God has a burning fire. Lastly, notice the result that this had upon the service, upon Jeremiah's service to the Lord. If you go back to Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found. Verse 15, Jeremiah's complaining about how he's been persecuted. He's complaining to God in the form of prayer. God answers his prayer by the word being found. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Then notice what it says. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He ate the word of God. And that word of God in him caused him to realize his purpose in life. I am called by thy name. You can't have the word of God burning in your heart. You can't hear the word of God preached, have it burning in your heart, and then go out that door and live a life of sin. You can't do it. You can't do it. But people do it all the time. They hear the word of God, they go out there, and they just continue on as if they haven't heard a thing. But the word's not burning in their heart. They haven't eaten it. Because if they did, they couldn't continue. They realize, I have a purpose in life. And Jeremiah realized that. I am called by thy name. So what happened here? Verse 14, he's basically focusing upon himself. In verse 15, who's he focusing on? God. I am called by thy name. And then, in chapter 20, in verse 9, we see he thought about quitting. But he says, I couldn't. No matter how bad I wanted to, I couldn't. Why? Because his word was in my heart as a burning fire. And even though in my sinful ways I wanted to quit, I couldn't. Couldn't do it. Word of God will spare you from a lot of things if it's in you. It'll prevent you from doing a lot of things. So again, all of this, thy words were found. As important as reading God's word is, important as hearing and learning, this is something that goes beyond that. Because again, you can read it, you can hear it, you can learn it. And never receive it. Never have it become a part of you. But this was a part of Jeremiah. And it was something that motivated him. It was a force that was in him. That's how the Word of God needs to be in us. Motivating us. A compelling force, pushing us, if you will, to continue to serve God in whatever capacity it is that He has called us to serve. Thy words were found. Every time we open this book and read it, it ought to be our prayer, O God, help me to find Thy word, to obtain it. Every time we hear it, Lord, help me obtain it. Now, a lot of people are deceived. They think they hear the word of God, and they think by simply hearing with the ears that they've received it. Well, you can measure or determine if you've truly received the Word of God by what happens after you heard it. If you leave here talking about everyone in the building, guess what? You just heard it with your ears. You didn't receive a bit of it. You talk about the preacher like they did here in the book of Jeremiah, you didn't receive, you didn't eat any of it. You heard it, but didn't do you any good. So it needs to be our prayer. Lord, help me to find God, your word, as Jeremiah did. Help me to obtain it, that it becomes a part of me, that it becomes who I am, that it forms my opinions. It is scary today to listen to the thought process of those who have sat in Baptist churches all their lives. It is scary. It's depressing. It's discouraging. The only conclusion we can come to is they haven't heard it at all. They haven't received it at all. Because if they received it, they wouldn't think that way. Well, you know, Brother Dan, homosexuality, you know, maybe you haven't received the Word of God. You receive it, it affects your political beliefs, it affects everything. You cannot separate your political beliefs or your opinions or your reasonings from your religion. If it's real. It can't be separated. They all work together. But yet today there are many who are trying to tell us, oh, I can do that. No, you can't. If you can separate it from your so-called religion, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. You don't have anything that's impacted your life. So God help us to find every time we read it, to find His Word. Every time we hear it, to find His Word. And to learn it in such a way that it has an influence upon us. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.